I want you to turn with me just a couple places. I won't go real long because this is a special day, transition day, a time of looking ahead, going to the future. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, though, I do want to read a couple of verses, make some comments. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church, and he says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Notice here that Paul said that you should not consider us as something other than just a minister of Christ, a servant of Christ, and stewards over the mysteries of God. A minister is a steward or a trustee of the mysteries or the truths of God. Amen? That's what a minister's for. That's why you should come to church. When you're coming to church, one of the main purposes you should come is this. You ought to come to be enlightened into the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So they cease to be a mystery in your life, but they become a revelation in your life. Amen? In my times, I've always sought to be in a ministry where I was fed the Word of God, where the ministry of the Word came forth. And notice he says this, "Moreover, is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Well, that means this, that the one who's taking that lead role has to be faithful to study the Word, to pray, to be prepared, and to be a good steward over the mysteries and the secrets and the divine plans and purposes of Almighty God. Amen. I've endeavored for the last 34 years in this church to be faithful, to minister the Word, and to bring people into a revelation knowledge of the truth of God. And I believe that faithfulness will continue on. I like what the Message Bible said. I looked at it here and it says, "Don't imagine us leaders to be something we aren't." That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, I tell you what, if you got a little pride in you, blue, and that sure punctures it, doesn't it? Amen. Look what he says. "We are servants of Christ, not his masters." See, a minister's never over Jesus. He's under Jesus. Amen. And in ministry, you want to find somebody that's always promoting the Lord Jesus Christ, always lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, always magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "We're guides into God's most sublime secrets, not security guards posted to protect them." Amen. What's that mean? That means that, praise God, when you come to church, you ought not be coming to church and them saying, "Well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and this has been done away with, and don't believe God can do this." No, praise God, when you come to church, you ought to come where the gospel's being proclaimed, the truth is being declared, and where you can find out what you have in Christ. Amen. See, we just finished a series, and I taught this out at Rhema on being kingdom influencers, praise God, at the camp meeting. And it stirred people, and I believe it stirred us because, you see, what we have to do is this. As believers, we come to church, especially if it's a Sunday morning, we're all gathering with the saints from all over this region. We're coming here to be edified, to be encouraged, to be re-strengthened, renewed. We're coming here to be refilled with the Spirit. Why? So that we can go out this week in our workplace, in our world, in our sphere of influence, and be a kingdom influencers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning what? We're going to go live the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to go out here and live a holy life. We're going to go out here and do right things. We're going to go out here and treat people right. We're going to go out here and walk in love and not hate. We're going to go out here and walk in faith and not fear. And we're going to have a different atmosphere around us. We're going to have a different spirit upon us. Amen. And in so doing, we're going to influence others to come to Christ. And we all to come in here on Sunday morning saying, "Lord, I'm coming to be taught the principles of the secrets of God, and I'm coming to hear those blessings secrets so that I can apply them in my life, and I can go out this week and somebody can be influenced to turn their life to Christ because I'm living for you." Amen? That ought to be the very attitude and the purpose and the motive of every one of us here. Sundays and Wednesdays are times to come together to refuel, to refresh, renew, to be anointed so that we can go out of here and take Christ into our place. Amen? And let people see Jesus in us. And you know, it's important for us that we go and infiltrate every sphere of influence in this nation. Amen. You didn't just get the job you're in just because, you know, it's got a good pay. You got put there so you could bring the kingdom of God into that workplace, be an influence for God in that place, and begin to turn it into Christ's place. Amen. And so we come to receive that. And so he says this in verse 2 in Message Bible. It says, "The requirements for a good guide are reliability and accurate knowledge." Amen. In other words, if you're going to come to a church, you ought to be able to rely on the pastor and the leadership there, and you ought to realize that I'm going to get accurate knowledge today. Amen. What's going to be taught me is going to be true, and it's going to work in my life. And so God is calling us to recognize what church is about and what we're supposed to do. Why do you need accurate knowledge? So that when you're questioned this week as to why you live like you live, you have an accurate answer for them from the Word of God. Amen. When somebody comes up and says, why don't you do pot? Why don't you smoke? Why don't you drink? Why don't you cuss? Why don't you go over here and partake of dirty jokes? Why do you try to do this when you're working? You have an accurate answer for the hope that's within you, and you can share that truth with them and let them see you're not putting them down. You're not belittling them. You're just telling them, this is the standard that the Lord Jesus has called me to live, and I want to influence you for His kingdom, not be influenced by the kingdom of darkness to come in. Amen? And so we come and we hear that accurate knowledge. Now, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, let's go over here. We want to look at this in the ministry. Paul speaks to us over here again in the 4th chapter. And he says in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Amen. He put them in the church. God placed these fivefold ministry gifts, and they're ministry gifts. They're teaching. They're to equip the saints. They're to minister. And as I was praying over this, the Lord said there are about five things from verses 12 through 16 that you need to do as a minister, as a faithful minister, as a good steward of the ministries of God. And the first one here, he says in verse 12, says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The first thing that a minister is to do is equip the saints for life and ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, you need to come to church to get equipped so you can live this thing. Amen. It is God's will for every person in this church and in the body of Christ to grow from the place of having to be carried to being able to carry somebody else. And so it's the ministry position and responsibility, number one, to equip you for life and ministry in the church. Number two is found in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the second thing? To unite the saints for God's purpose and ministry, and to grow the church and to get people involved in the church. Hallelujah. You need to come here so you can grow up. Amen. And be united and stand strong and be a somebody who adds to, not somebody takes away. Amen. See, I've always tried to be a uniter, not a divider. Praise God. And so when we come together, it's important for us to unite together, grow together, agree together, stand together, support one another, minister to one another. Amen? Then the third thing is found down here in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery or sleight of men or the cunning craftiness whereby or deceitful plans whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, the pastor and the ministry of the church is to protect the saints from deception. That's why they're required in 1 Corinthians 4 to give you accurate knowledge. Amen? Praise God. How many of you know there's a lot of deception going on out in the world? How many of you know there's a lot of deception being preached from the pulpit? Amen. Brother Hagin, you say it like this, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and spit out the sticks. Amen. Praise God. And so we need to be wise and not be deceived. There are all the time people trying to deceive you and lead you away. You know, Jesus taught there in John 10 that they're hirelings. And I brought out the revelation. The Lord spoke to me. He said, a hireling is somebody that's employed by the devil to get you out of church. Well, I'm going to say it again. A hireling is somebody employed by the devil to get you out of church and out of God's perfect will. They're going to come in, tell you don't do this. They're going to deceive you things. They're going to say things. They're going to pull you away from God's plan and purpose for your life. And then once the wolf comes, they're going to flee. Because they don't care anything about you. They just want you to be as defeated as they are. Amen. So I refuse to let anybody deceive me and pull me out. And when you come here, you're going to hear truth that's going to help you to not be deceived. If you'll hear it, amen, walk in it. Praise God. Then the fourth thing is down here in verse 15. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ our Lord. Notice this, we are to grow and mature the saints in their walk with the Lord. In other words, the reason you come to church is so you can hear the word and grow in your faith. Amen? So you can learn how to speak the truth in love. I don't know about you, but I've always been the type that I wanted to do it myself. Are you hearing me? What are you talking about? Well, you know, I always wanted to pray and get my own answers, praise God. I saw a fellow actually it was on PTL back before they even had the satellite, back in the early days. Somebody said, how early? I don't want to tell you how early it was, but it was back in 1976, if you have to know. Actually, it was back in 1975. I have to go back a little bit farther, praise God. December of 1975, in fact. And Bonnie's mom had come to visit us down at East Tennessee State. We just got married in August, and so she had a lump come up on her throat, and we just couldn't get rid of it, and it hurt her. And so her mom came down and saw, well, we didn't have insurance, ain't we? We were going to college. And so she said, you get over and get that exam. Well, they examined it, and they came back and said, well, it's in your glands, and it's a knot. There's little things come out there, and said, we might want to do a biopsy on that and find out if it's cancerous or not. Well, that'll shake you if you've just been married a few months and you're 20 years old, amen, and they come in and tell you your wife might have some kind of disease. And so, you know, we'd been saved and praying, believing God. Well, I immediately prayed to the limits I had prayer and got in the Word and started trying to find places in the Bible. Found over in Isaiah, you know, where the king had a lump on the back of his neck, and they prayed and he got healed. So I thought, well, God, you did it for him, you do it for Bonnie. And so then, you know, I was praying, Lord, how'd I do this? And I turned on the program, and there was a guy on there, and he was praying for the sick. They would film the place, and this minister was ministering to people and laying hands on them and praying for them to be healed. Praise God. And I thought, where is that? So I found it over in Mark 16. And I thought, glory to God, if he can do that, I can do that. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, I prayed over it real strong. I hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, so I prayed with all the understanding I had. And I finally called Bonnie in, and I said, now, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name, pray for you, and curse that thing, and God's going to heal you. You agree? She goes, I'm in agreement. So I laid hands on her and prayed for her. Praise God. Said to be healed in Jesus' name. We just stood there and praised the Lord, and I went in, sat down, felt pretty good about it. Next thing I heard was plunk, plunk, because the doctor had given her some medication, and I heard some plunking in the toilet, and then I heard it flush, and I turned, I said, what are you doing? She goes, well, if the Lord's going to heal me, I'm not taking that medicine to make me half sick. I went, oh, God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I mean, you know, my faith got really tried right there. Hallelujah. I said, I believe. I was walking through the house. And so for the next 3 days, you know, if anything had come up, I'd say, no, I believe. And I just stood and just kept on. You know, didn't realize I was walking a lot of faith back in those days because we didn't know anything about it. We were just trying to trust God. And then Bonnie made a commitment to the Lord. She went back to be examined, and she was sitting there in the waiting room, and she made this commitment. See, in James, he says, you have not because you ask amiss. You ask to consume it on your own lust for your own benefits, and so you can get the glory, one translation says. Well, instead of praying for that, you know what she did? She did this. She's sitting out there waiting on them to call her back. And she said, Lord, you're my Lord. We've committed our hearts to you. Whether I get healed or I don't get healed, I'll never not serve you because my life is yours. She made that consecration sitting there. Still had the knot. We've been praying. It'd been 4 days since we'd prayed. And it's still there. And so, you know, about that time they came out and said, Miss Huffman, so she went back in. She had a lady was a doctor there, and she set her down, and she walked over and started feeling, you know, said, let me see what it feels like. And she felt, she goes, oh, the medicine must have worked. Bonnie said, what? She goes, yeah, that lump's gone. It's completely gone. And Bonnie reached up there and felt it. Hallelujah. Amen. And it had disappeared from the waiting room to the examining room. Hallelujah. And that's why we decided way back then, we want to do it ourselves. We want to believe God, amen? And that's why you have to be coming to church, so you can learn how to use your faith, and you can speak the truth in love, and you can see God, because you see, God's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. And you can tell by the testimony, the story there, there was a lot of unbelief involved in that. What are you talking about? A lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of concern. But you know what we did? We didn't yield to it, and God will put up with a little bit of unbelief in the early days of your walk with him until you grow and learn better, amen? So don't just sit back and wait. Receive this stuff and get the truth and grow up in him. That's why you're coming to church. And then finally, the fifth thing is found in verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. What's he saying here? To help the saints to take their place and to do their part in building up God's kingdom, fulfilling the vision of the church. Every one of you in here have an important part. Every person in this place has an important part to be a stone, a living stone placed in this house. And you know what? Your purpose for being here should be to grow, to mature, to develop your faith so you can see victories in your home, so you can be a kingdom influencer on the job, and then also so you can come in here and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to be a part of something that's greater than me. Hallelujah. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm a living stone placed in the house of God, and I have been called here, anointed here, and Lord, I'm going to take my place and take my stand and be what you've called me to be, and we're going to grow this thing. Hallelujah. Because you see, this is the thing. Shepherds don't beget sheep. They tend the sheep. Sheep beget sheep. Are you listening to me? The flock will never grow if the flock doesn't reproduce. Amen. In other words, we all have to be involved in winning others and winning family and winning friends and winning enemies and bringing them to church and getting them set free. Amen. Notice we don't try to get them in church and get them set free. We win them and then we bring them to church and they get set free. Amen, because we're going out living this life and walking this life, and we're a part of what God's called us to be. And that's what this church has been about since day one, is that we would grow together and be an influence in Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. Amen? And to do that, it takes all of us growing together, doing our part, letting God work in us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so let's go over here to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, I want you to see something over here. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, we know the story. You know, Elijah had called fire down, defeated the false prophets and all the different things. And now we've got him here after he's run across the plains of Jezreel and he's done all of these mighty works. And he gets back over here and old Jezebel sends him a message. Amen. You know what she says? She says, by this time tomorrow, so help me to my false gods. I'll paraphrase for it. I'm going to kill you just like you killed all my prophets. You know, if she really meant it, she came and told him herself. Amen. I mean, you know, she thought she was that bad. She'd have showed up that day without warning him, wouldn't she? But she, you know, but it worked because he took the bait and let fear and doubt and worry and everything else jump in. And this time old Elijah, he jumps and runs, but this time he run in his own strength, not under the anointing of God, and found himself under, the New King James says, a broom tree. The Old King James says a juniper tree. Yeah. What's that mean? He just found himself under a place to moan, groan, cry, and complain and fuss because he done lost his vision. Amen. If you find yourself fussing, moaning, groaning, complaining about life, it's probably because you missed those first five steps that we found in Ephesians 4 somewhere. Because you see, we're all going to have opportunities in life. We're going to do something great, and then the next thing we're going to know, the enemy's going to kind of come in and defeat us and knock us right down. Anybody found that out? Anybody found out that after a great victory, you better get ready for a great test? Because the enemy's going to try to come in and steal that victory out of you. And just because you got one victory doesn't exempt you from having to fight another fight. So Elijah, he gets on, and then God sends an angel. Aren't you glad God's merciful to us whenever we mess up? He's still a good God. Amen. Anybody ever been under that juniper tree and you know, the Lord sent you somebody to help you out? Praise God. Now, don't look at me like that. I've been under there, and I saw your footprints. Amen. Hallelujah. There are a lot of prints under that juniper tree, not just old Elijah. And so therefore, you know, what we'll find that whenever we're in a problem, in a test, that's when you need to be open and let the Lord speak to you. And so God began to minister to Elijah, and he began to show him his future, and he began to show him things that he was wanting him to complete and him to continue to do. His ministry wasn't over just because, you know, he defeated that enemy. He still had more things to do. And you read that Elijah continued on for several more years, praise God. But in the midst of this, God begins to tell him down here in verse 15, and the Lord said to him, notice this isn't just something that he came up with. This is the Lord speaking to Elijah, telling him what to do. He says, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. Now listen to the next part. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Notice that? He's showing him who's going to succeed him. He's showing him who's going to continue the prophetic ministry that he's got. Praise the Lord. And he says, Elisha is your successor. Elisha's one's going to step up and step into that anointing. And I want you to go and anoint him to step into that place. Well, what's Elisha going to do? He's going to continue ministering to the nation of Israel the truth of God's word. Amen. He's going to continue to stand against false doctrine. He's going to continue to stand against the ungodly things. He's going to continue to work to perfect the saints and to keep them walking with God. And he's going to do the work of God. Amen. And so the Bible says in verse 19, so he, Elijah, departed from there. And he found Elisha. Notice it doesn't say that he did minister the other two of his kings, but notice it puts an importance here on the ministry. Thank God for people, you know, that are in our political office. We want to pray for them and anoint them and believe God. But you know what? They're going to fade out. I mean, they're going to serve their time and be gone. But the ministry is a constant until Jesus comes back. Amen. And now notice what he says. So he departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. So this young man was doing something. He wasn't just sitting around watching others work. He was working. He was involved. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And, of course, Elisha began to follow him. Now, a lot of times we read that and we think, well, he put that mantle on him. The next day he got caught up in the chariot and he was gone. No, if you go and study it, most church historians tell us that Elisha followed Elijah between 7 and 8 years before Elijah was caught up. He ministered to Elijah for over 7 years as his assistant. What was he doing during that time? He's learning how to walk in the anointing. He was learning how to minister to the people. He was learning to fulfill what God had told him to do. How do you know that? Well, because you get on over into 2 Kings when Elijah's getting ready to go up. He knows it's time to go. And you know he's trained him, right? Because he says, you stay here, I'm going over here. And he says, no, sir. Wherever you go, I'm going. I ain't followed you this long now to miss it now. And then he got to another place. He said, why don't you just stay right here? I'm going to go over here. He said, no, sir. Where you go, I'm going. And he finally comes down to the River Jordan. He says, you stay here. I'm going to cross over. And Elijah again says, no, wherever you go, I'm going. And so he takes his mantle, he smites the river, and he goes across. And then when he gets across the river, he finally there looks over at him. He says, now then, what would you want me to do for you? What do you want from God? What's on your heart? What's a desire that you would desire from God? Well, he must have been trained, right? Because his word was, I want a double portion of that anointing that's on your life. I want God to be on me like he's been on you. Because God has called me to do this ministry, and there's no way I'm going to be able to do this ministry without the anointing of God. Amen. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. In other words, that's it's hard on God. He was complimenting him. He's saying, you know what? He said, you've learned something over these last 7.5 years. You've learned that it's the power of God. And your request is that you want more anointing on you than you've even seen on me, because God has taught you right. And it can't be done through your own ability. It's got to be done through the Spirit, through the anointing, through the power of God. And so he was complimenting him. That's a good ask. That's a good question. That's a good desire. And then he said, but it's not mine to give it. He said, but I'll tell you what. See, he's speaking out of the prophetic anointing now. He says, if you see me when I'm caught away, then God has granted your request. But if you don't, that's between you and God. And of course, here came the chariot of fire and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah was caught up and Elisha saw it. And Elijah's mantle fell back to the ground. You know what that meant? The mantle that he had tossed and caught him on had now just been taken from one generation to the next. And you know what Elisha did? He walked over and lifted up that mantle. And he walked back to the River Jordan. And he began his ministry by saying, where is the God of Elijah? And he smote that water and it parted for him. Amen. Because the anointing is the same for every generation. It's just how bad do you want it? Amen. Are you willing to pursue it? Are you willing to hunger for it? And so God brought them to the place and the ministry went on. And if you'll study out your Bible, you'll find out that Elisha did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah did in his lifetime. Because he got what he asked. He got a double portion of the anointing of God. And so today, you know, and it's amazing, whenever Elijah threw his mantle over upon Elisha, he wasn't finished. And today, as I toss the mantle over upon my son, it's not that I'm finished. God has called me to go out and minister other places. And we are. We're going to go do things. We're going to help pastors. We're going to help ministers. We're going to preach in other churches and stir them up. We're going to take the message of God's kingdom influencers across this nation and see if we can't get the people out of the pews and out in the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring a revival to this nation. Amen? That's what my mandate is right now. And we're going to do that, praise God. And we're going to see God move. But at the same time, I believe, God, that a double portion is coming on New Life Church. And God's going to do greater things in the days ahead than he's done in the past. Not that what he's done in the past hasn't been great, but I believe the greatest days are still in front of us. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe there's a multitude of people that are ready to get saved and feel the Holy Spirit and walk in a new life with Christ Jesus. Amen. Our theme used to be when we started that we have new life for the sinner and victory for the believer. Praise God. Why not have new life for every sinner in this city and victory for every believer in this city? Amen. And this tri-state region. So today we come to the place where God has spoke to me and he said, who's to be the next one? He said, I'm calling Joshua, your son, to step up and be the pastor of this church, to release it. This isn't something new. God began to deal with me on this a couple of years ago. There are certain things I ask him for, and he did it. Then back in the first part of the year, I was praying. He said, now I've done everything you asked me to do. Now you go do what I've asked you to do. And so I said, okay. And then about 3 weeks later, I was praying because I hadn't done much about it. And the Lord said, now then, you need to walk through the door that I've opened for you. Don't make me push you through it. I said, okay, I guess it's time to take the mantle off. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you see, it was time for change. And so it's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. So we're going to ask Joshua and Megan to come up here and stand. And all the elders to come up here. Praise God. And stand around them. Bonnie and I are going to stand here in front of them. Praise the Lord. And today we're going to pass the mantle. Hallelujah. And we're going to believe God that he's going to pour out a great anointing upon them and upon this church. And everyone in here is going to be a part of this. Hallelujah. And we're going to flow together as one in this. And we're going to see God move in this. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want everybody else to stand up for the Lord. Praise God. Because this anointing isn't just for Joshua and Megan. It's for this church. Amen. Amen.